Hello and welcome to Rugeley Community Church. My name's Paul. I've been asked to give the message this morning on the topic of hope is healing. So I want to just read through the outline that was given. It's very encouraging and we all need to hear it. So I just want to read through the outline that I was given to base this message on. Then we're going to pray. And what I really feel led to do on this particular session is just look at a scripture, but then look at the build up to the scripture. So we're going to be looking at Philippians 4, but I want to take it right back to Paul's journey to Philippi the very first time, which is in Acts 14 with his journey, and his actual first visit at Philippi, which is Acts 16. And just look at the things that Paul had to come across and endure. The miracles he's seen happen. So when we go back to Philippians 4 at the end again, it'll give it that bit more clarity and weight, because what Paul actually said was out of experience, was out of all the persecution that he had, but yet he will still say, be anxious for nothing. So we're just going to start with the outline first, if that's okay. So I'll just read it out to you. Whatever problems we have today, Jesus is still bigger. And that's not just a nice sounding thought, it's an absolute truth. He only asks us to come to him and believe in his name and his power to work. He can take those pieces that have caused great suffering, illness, problems, tragedies and heartache, and he can make a miracle out of all of them, bringing grace and healing. He can provide for us what we need and multiply the blessings, using it to offer hope to others and bring glory to his name. Jesus hasn't changed and he never will. He's sure and faithful. He's powerful and mighty. And he still moves with great compassion and love in this world, and he even offers that to us this day. By definition, depression is a sense of hopelessness. Things cannot and will not get better. That's why I want to give them the hope that the vast majority of cases, they will get better. There is a way out, and there are things that they can do to help themselves in their helplessness. That hope itself is a huge step towards healing. That hope is Jesus Christ. So the scripture we'll be looking at is Philippians 4, 4-7. But there's many, many different kind of healings in the Bible, which is for us today, which I'm not going to major on, but just when we're looking at emotional healing, we can read Isaiah 61, where it talks about the healing of the brokenhearted and the comfort for the mourners, you know, the emotional healing. We can look at spiritual healing in Isaiah 53, where it talks about healing of our transgressions and our iniquities. It says, by his wounds we are healed. Physical healing in Psalm 41. This talks about a man being sustained on his sick bed, but God also fully restoring him to health. So that's, you know, just three from the Old Testament, which talks about emotional healing, spiritual healing, and physical healing. So we're going to be looking at Philippians 4, 4-7, so I'll just read that out. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It's a very, very powerful scripture in itself, but we're just going to jog back a little bit and we're going to look at the first visit to Philippi, his actual visit to Philippi, to see what Paul actually went through. So the letter to the Philippians was written, I think it was 8 to 10 years after his first visit, but he was very, very fond of the Philippians, as you read in Philippians 1. But I just wanted to give that a little bit of background to give that scripture some more weight and clarity of where Paul was actually coming from. So we go back to Acts 14. This was on his journey to Antioch. So he wasn't at Philippi yet, but he was on his way. And he went through a place called Lystra, and in Lystra he was preaching the word. And I've made all this a lot shorter just to give you the background. But he went to Lystra and he seen a man who was crippled from birth. This man had never walked. This man had never ran around with his friends when he was younger. This man, I presume, would be a little low in self-worth or even depressed. He was in a hopeless situation. But when he heard the truths which Paul was preaching in Lystra, it said that Paul looked at him and he seen this man's faith. Now this man, through hearing the truth, had that confidence, expectation that he could be healed. That's the hope that he had. Paul seen this faith within this man. Paul turned around to him and he said, "Stand up straight and walk." The man stood up and leapt and walked, so overjoyed. That hopeless situation turned around, and for the first time in that man's life, he could stand up and he leapt for joy and he walked, and no doubt he ran and he was telling everybody, and everybody knew this man. You know, he just sat there each and every day, and he just sat there. But to see this man running around stirred up the crowds, and the crowds were going, this man here, pointing to Barnabas, he must be Zeus, which was the god of thunder. And this man, pointing towards Paul, must be Hermes, that's Zeus's son, which is the messenger. And they were going to slaughter animals and give praise to Zeus and Hermes, because they were saying, no, these gods have come down in a human-like fashion as men. And when Paul seen this, he ran out saying, no. Turn away from your ways and turn to the true living God. When all this happened and all the crowds settled down and everything, the Jews came in, and the Jews managed to turn all the crowds against Paul and Barnabas, even though they'd just seen this amazing miracle happen. So when the Jews turned everybody against Paul, they dragged him into the marketplace and actually stoned him to what they thought to death. That's how serious this was. So they stoned him and they dragged him out of the city, left him outside of the city for dead. They thought he was dead. Now it wasn't until all the disciples gathered around Paul that he actually stood up. And it says, and left, and the very next day carried on preaching to the multitudes, and many more were added to the church, many more became disciples, which that itself is absolutely amazing. I mean, to be raised up from the point of death, or you could even say death to life, to go out the very next day preaching the gospel, giving the good news to the people, giving the people hope and the truth that they needed to hear, and many more turned to become disciples. It's absolutely amazing, really. When you could preach on that alone, couldn't you? The faith of the man, the obedience of Paul, and the resurrection of Paul from near enough death to actually going out and carrying on with his call to give the good news. So when we look a bit further down, Silas comes on the scene in Acts 15:22. Barnabas parts ways with Paul in Acts 15:39. Barnabas went with Mark to Cyprus, and Silas carried on with Paul on his journey. So this brings us to Acts 16, Paul's first visit to Philippi. This is where Timothy joins Paul and Silas in Derbe, in Lystra, not Derby, Derbe. We hear how the church was increasing in numbers daily. Absolutely amazing. How great would that be to see that today? Through mine and your obedience, doing what God wants us to do, to see the kind of multiplication in the church today, which is so much needed. And I'm believing for that to happen very soon. So after travelling through the cities, Paul had a vision. He knew that he had to go to Macedonia. So he eventually came to Philippi, his first visit to Philippi, which is the eastern part of Macedonia. In Acts 16:11, it's here where Paul and Silas met a lady named Lydia. Now, Lydia used to deal with the finest cloth, purple cloth. So, you know, she's quite, I presume, a wealthy woman, because she was producing the finest cloth for the leaders at the time and everything else, a purple cloth. But she also worshipped God. She believed in God. So when she saw that she got favour with Paul and Silas, she actually said to them, would you come and stay with my family, you know, while you're here? And that very day, her and her household were baptised. Amazing. Paul and Silas accepted the offer, but then they went out to pray. And as they went out to pray, they came across a certain slave girl. Now, this slave girl had a spirit of divination, and she had the ability, if you like, through the spirit within her, to do fortune telling and the likes. So in turn, she created a wealth for her masters through fortune telling. It was like an income. And she followed Paul and Silas for days, and she was shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, the Most High God. And she was shouting it, following them. Now, yes, that's true what she was saying. But while Paul and Silas are going and they're praying and trying to have that one-to-one with God in prayer, or they may want to come across people very subtly and introduce the hope for them, you've got somebody shouting behind you. And it said Paul grew greatly annoyed, and he turned around and he cast out the spirit out of that girl. And it did come out of that girl. You see, when the masters found out what Paul and Silas had done, and they cast the spirit out of that girl, it actually affected their income, because she was no longer that fortune teller. She didn't have that spirit within inside of her to give her the ability to do the fortune telling, to create the income, the finances, to give over to her masters. So it was a blessing for her, but for her masters, they really frowned upon Paul and Silas at this point. So they rose up against them, and again, dragged into the marketplace, and they were beaten with sticks and took down to the inner prison, the inner part of the prison, with all the other convicts and I presume murderers and all that, right in the inner prison. Now, you could look at the inner prison, what that meant, and you were guarded. It wasn't a nice place to be. And in there, they were in chains. So the circumstance that Paul and Silas were under, everything was stacked against them in the natural. But in the supernatural, Paul and Silas were there in chains, beaten, bleeding, and they'd done nothing wrong whatsoever. But they were there, and what were they doing? They were praising the name of Jesus. They were singing songs. It says they were singing hymns to God. So above their circumstances, they were carried on praying and thanking God and singing praises to his mighty name. Now, around about midnight on that night, what happened is, through the singing and the praising, there was a huge earthquake, and it says it shook the foundations. It shook the foundations of this prison. The doors flung open, the chains fell off. It was amazing, really, what God did in that place, through Paul and Silas rising above their circumstance and praising his name for his glory. And God intervened, and he shook the foundations of that prison to the point of the doors opening, the chains falling off, that they may have been in stocks at the time with their ankles, I'm presuming, but they were definitely in chains. And at that point, all the prisoners which had been listening to Paul and Silas singing praises, I believe that something happened to them spiritually. emotionally and even physically in their prison, because not one of them ran out, not one of them tried to escape. Because when the jailer woke up, he saw the doors were open and immediately was going to take his own life, because he thought that he'd get the blame. All the doors are open. He's presumed that all the jailers, all the inmates had escaped, if you like. He was going to take his own life because it would have been his fault. But Paul shouted, "Stop, we are all here." Now, he didn't just say it about him and Silas, he said, "We are all here." So this is why I really truly believe that through the singing and the praising to the Lord Jesus Christ, through God, that everybody in that cell became, would you say, born again or convicted of what they'd done wrong and brought into repentance. He said, "We are all here." And the jailer couldn't believe it and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And then Paul breaks it down for him. You've got to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your saviour. So it goes on to say about the jailer that he actually took them out and he washed their wounds. And it says he and his household were baptised also. So it was amazing, really, out of this situation, how God turned that situation around and just created that miracle out of it and actually saved the jailer and his family, and I believe all the other inmates in that prison at that time. So you can kind of see what Paul went through. I mean, he'd been through emotional suffering, he'd been through physical suffering, he'd been rejected, he'd been neglected, he'd been humiliated, he'd been through all this. But yet, he still goes out and he's still got that hope and he's got that confident expectation inside of him what God is doing in that day and also many days to come. In chapter 17, Paul departs to Thessalonica or Thessalonia. And his journey goes on. But that's a bit of a background and just a few of the things which Paul actually went through. So when we go into the book of Philippians, I mean, we start looking in chapter 1 and it says how fond he was of the Philippians. Paul talks about being bold to speak without fear. He tells us to that he's rejoicing in his preaching. Now, when you look at it, he's saying, "I rejoice in my preaching," look at what he actually had to endure and go through his preaching. But he's saying, "I do it with joy." He says about his hope and expectations. Paul shows us his views when he says, "To live is Christ, but to die is gain." He knows when the time comes, he will be with Jesus. Paul talks of power of unity and also says, we may suffer for Jesus' name. And that includes today. He covers so many things. In Philippians chapter 2, as we're building up to chapter 4 now, we see how Paul talks about being humble and selfless, how Jesus himself came to serve of no reputation. Jesus was obedient even to the point of death, and even death on the cross, that's what it says. But God himself exalted Jesus and gave him the name above all names. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul warns about evil workers, he actually calls them dogs. He talks of his losses and his sufferings and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He talks about how to forget the things behind him, but focus on things ahead. Which brings us into Philippians chapter 4, where he starts by saying, "Stand fast." Stand fast in the Lord, which means to keep the same opinion of, to stay in the same position, you know, not to be shaken. Which brings us back to that scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always, through persecution, through the beatings that he had, through the rejection that he had. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and petition or supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which guards your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul was in that prison, he could have slipped into depression. He could have slipped into his world of circumstance and let that weigh him down. But no, his eyes were on much, much more above what his circumstance was on earth. It's amazing, really, when you read this through, where he's saying, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, Paul was a warrior. I believe he was, because he was a soldier before, that he could have fought back in some of the situations he was in, but he chose to show his gentleness to people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So now when we read the scripture with a bit of the background behind it, I really feel myself it has more power to that scripture, that he endured the persecution, the humiliation, and a lot more. But his focus remained, his hope remained in Jesus Christ and the things far above the earthly circumstance, and the hope that he had is Jesus Christ. So now we've just had a quick look at that and a brief run through to give a bit more clarity and weight behind that scripture. How does that work today? Now, before I was a Christian, I used to suffer with depression. I was in a psychiatric ward and I was on medication. And I did feel in a hopeless situation. I lived on my own from a young age. Everything was stacked against me in that sense. And it wasn't that I wasn't loved by my mum or anything else at the time. It was the circumstance at the time. It's just the way things fell. Depression crept in. I was drinking. I was smoking marijuana and things like that. I was hanging around with the wrong crowd. I really used to enjoy fighting. I had no fuse. It was either I was really nice or I was angry. There was no real in between. And I was on all this medication, but I didn't have the hope. Now, I went through the psychiatric ward and went through all the worldly things that you do to recover. And it did pay a part. It really did. It did help me to a certain extent. But when I became a Christian and I found the truth and I met Sarah and I found out her dad was a pastor, which was a bit of a, the lads weren't sure if it was going to work or not, because I was how I was and Sarah was a pastor's daughter. But I really do thank God really for his direction through that time for me to bring me to Sarah and then to church. And to church, I just started coming once every now and again just to see what it was like. But the love that I felt from the people in that church was absolutely phenomenal. It was amazing. And I realised that the meaning and the Bible wasn't just a religious book. This was actually a lifestyle and how people actually were. I was asked to go to Lichfield to a meeting which was on at the time. And I was prayed for. And I wasn't in totally my right mind. I was on a lot of medication, which I suffered with a little bit of memory loss. I couldn't separate reality from what wasn't real at the time, but I got prayed for, and that night I had a dream that I could see myself lying on bed, and the door opened and this man was at the door, and he walked over and he put his hand on my chest, and when he did that, these things started coming out of me. I didn't have any understanding what this was at the time, but the very next day I had that spring in my step. I walked out and I had something, a joy inside of me, which I'd not had before. Now that was a concrete point for me in my early Christian life, that I knew what the truth was. But I'd be lying if I was to say that everything went all right after that, even when I was a Christian and and got married, I still slipped into depression. But the one difference was is I had a hope. I had that confident expectation that through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would help me through. And you know what he did. And as my Christian life went on, every time these negative thoughts came in, my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ carried me through. And every time it come up, it got easier and easier and easier. Because I was in the Word. Now, I've failed at things and I've made mistakes and, you know, probably said things I shouldn't have said. But you know what, I rest that, you know, we're all a work in progress, all of us. And I truly believe you keep that confident expectation that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross to take all your sin away, all my sin away, that we'll see the glory of his heaven and his paradise when the time comes. So I thank the Lord Jesus for giving me that hope, for giving you that hope. So we need to rest in that hope, move forward. And you know, if you do make a mistake, I've always said it before, you read, you repent, you run again. And that's what hope is for me. So I really believe that that word was a timely word. And I really do hope that you've got something from it. So I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done in my life, what he's done in your life. So be encouraged this morning. And when you go out, you rest in that hope and you work in that hope. You be obedient to that hope that only Jesus can give you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.